All right, so again, like Pastor Suglio mentioned, we're kind of at a relatively challenging place in our military career. We've been 20 years now in the Navy, and I finally get a choice. So for a long time, you just kind of keep going where the Navy sends you. And now there's the opportunity to say, well, hey, what does God have from here? So that's something we've been praying about, and just so fortunate to have the opportunity to speak to you guys today and hopefully remind us some things that we know about fathers, fatherhood, and honoring our parents. So if everybody can turn to Ephesians 6, we're going to read Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. All right, so Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." All right, now we'll pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I just pray, God, that as Pastor Mix mentioned in the sermon this morning, God, that we just want to be used by you, Lord. We want to be vessels for the Holy Spirit to be your hands and your feet, God. And I just pray that now this message tonight would be exactly what you want, Lord. I just pray that it is the Holy Spirit that is communicating to this audience, to this congregation, God, and that you have something for them, Lord, and that they would leave here blessed. And I just pray your hand upon us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this commandment to honor thy father and thy mother was penned by the very finger of God. So it is in Exodus 20:12, as well as in Deuteronomy 5:16, and they say very similar things. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So that's pretty powerful, right? To have a prolonged life, and that it may go well with thee. That's so important. So we see it two times in the Old Testament, and we see it five more times in the New Testament. Yeah. So the Bible repeats it for a total of seven times. It's twice in Matthew, twice in Mark, and once in Luke. And God doesn't waste his breath, right? God is not trying to fill up the Bible. And he said, I forgot what I said. Let me try it again. Or I got a few more lines in there. Let's see, what am I going to put in there, right? So it is for emphasis. When something's repeated in the Word of God, it is because it's important. So that's something that that we need to think about. And we know that in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we know that when God says there's a commandment and a promise, that we need to heed that. We need to really pay attention. So this commandment is repeated because it's so important, but it's so helpful in our lives. I consider the Bible to be our operating manual. You know, that it's written by God, but it's to truly meet our earthly needs as well as to develop us spiritually, right? If we believe that the all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing God wrote this for our good, to teach us how to live here on earth, then that's something that we need to pay attention to. So God wants our best, and he spelled out how to live in his word. Conversely, right, we mentioned honoring God and how important that is. Conversely, cursing our parents is very serious in God's eyes. In Exodus 21:17, it says, "He that curseth his father or mother shall surely be put to death." So we have on the one hand the commandment that God says, honor your father and your mother, and I will give you blessings, right? I will give you long life, and life will go well with you. But on the other hand, if you choose to curse your parents, the punishment for that is death, right? So a significant delta between those two. So this is not something that God is just trifling with. So God often uses analogies for us to understand spiritual truths, right? We see that all through the New Testament. We see that all through the Word of God. there's some complicated spiritual truth, God will tell us, like a shepherd leading his sheep, for instance, right? A husband and a wife, a father and a son. And that's what God is doing here. So God uses fatherhood to give us a clear picture of his care for us and to teach us to honor him as we honor our own fathers. So I must obey God's word and respect and honor my parents, not just for my parents' sake, right? Because they are due that honor. God commands me to give them that honor. But for my own sake, because when I do that, I know that God has a blessing for me, you know, long life, and that it may go well with me. But also something that I think as fathers we may not consider is for our children's sake, right? Our children, we are modeling as dads, we are modeling everything that our children see as right, see as masculine, see as strong. So the same way that my child is going to understand, my son would understand how to treat a woman based on how I treat my wife, that's the same thing that if I refuse to honor my parents and I choose not to be speak disrespectful of them or not do the things that they need, not meet their needs, that is what I'm modeling for my children. So for me, later in life, I shouldn't be surprised if I see my children not honoring me, because that was the model that they had, that they saw from me. And I'm also teaching them, basically teaching them how to not get that blessing that God has promised, right? I want to be living in such a way where I am able to be honored, right? And we'll talk a little bit more about that. I must obey God's word and respect and honor my parents for the sake of, again, my parents, myself, and my children. And lastly, this evening, we're going to see that obedience to God's command brings the long life that so many people are looking for. So first, let's look at how God's word shows us the perfect example of what we should be as fathers. So this is God's picture for fatherhood. So earthly fatherhood is a picture of God's care for us. He uses the husband and wife analogy. He uses the shepherd and the sheep. But he refers to us as his children so many times in the Bible, right? It is abundantly clear that this is probably the premier way, the analogy that he wants to communicate to us of our relationship to him, of our reliance on him, his care and love for us. Galatians 4:6 is just one example. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that's one saying that we are God's son, that he acknowledges us as his child. But two, we cry out to him, you know, as we mentioned today in service. Abba, Father's like, Daddy, you know, we cry out to him. And this is the example that he sets. And it's so appropriate because we are so weak and we're helpless without his love and guidance. When you imagine a young orphan child just on his own by himself, doesn't know what to do, lonely, scared, helpless. That's really how we are in this life without God. And God wants to come in and be that father to us. He wants to pour out that love, and he wants to teach us and guide us and just be that father. So that is the example that we have. And my family will develop their understanding of their Heavenly Father based on my actions and my treatment of them. So I know this is a struggle that people have that have had difficult relationships with their father, is they can often see if their father was overbearing and angry and never praised them, never hugged them, they can have a struggle with seeing God as a loving, caring father. So it's so important as parents that we understand this. And we're made in God's image, and we have similar desires. So there's things, again, and this is extending the example of as God is to us, and he's our father to all mankind, a father to his children, there's many, many similarities. So for instance, when a husband and wife are in married union and they create a life, and they have a child. That's the same thing that God did in Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And again, we can't make, we can't do things to the level that God can do, but he put in us a desire to, because we are made in his image, he's put in us a desire to do those things. Fathers love their children. It's an innate thing. You can look among lost people and they'll protect their children. They'll love their children. It's built into man because we are made in the image of God. And God loves his children. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So God teaches us, just as a father. I have a desire to teach my children. Maybe they're not doing the right behavior. Maybe that embarrasses me, right? Maybe they're not doing the right thing, and I'm concerned for them, and I don't want them to be injured or hurt. I don't want them to have lifelong consequences. So I'm going to teach them. So, and all fathers will do this. It's built into man. In Titus 2:11, God does that exact same thing as he teaches his children. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." God leads us. Just as we discussed this morning when Pastor said, "Hey, young men, you're the head of your clan." And you are. And I think that's one of the coolest things about being a man, is that God has set that up. And I believe that God wants to be head of his clan, right? He wants us to follow him. And he wants to be that leader that we look to. And that's the same thing that fathers want, right? We want to lead our family. And this is, you know, there's some really good things on manhood about, you know, modern man starting with Adam, you know, had rejected some of those responsibilities. And some of the reason that sin entered into the world was because of his passivity. So as men, we don't want to be passive, right? It's many wives will step up if the men won't, and they will take that leadership role. But we should not let that happen. As men, we need to be the one to lead. So we set the tone of our home, and God sets the tone for his children. John 10:3 says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So we know God, we know his goodness and his love and his care for us, and we follow him. And as fathers, we should be doing that same thing, right? We have an innate desire to lead, but we have to remember we need to lead in the way that God leads and use that as our model. Just as fathers, identify that if you've taught your child and they're not listening, right? We understand there is a need to get through to that child, not just to let them continue with self-destructive behaviors or behaviors that will hurt the family, will hurt themselves. And sometimes we have to chasten our children. We have to correct them. And sometimes that is difficult for parents to do. But that's a valuable thing. So fathers, never be afraid to do that, right? The Bible says that, even using a rod, right? Even physical discipline, as hard as it is on parents, That is what love is when you can sacrifice and say, "Well, this hurts me, but I'm doing this for your good." And it seems like in our society, so many parents have said, "Well, I don't want to do that. That seems distasteful to me. So I'm gonna put them in timeout again for the 47th time." But you have to be willing to get through to them. And as they elevate, we as fathers have to elevate the stakes, so that we do get, because that's the same way that God's going to do to us, right? God's saying, "Hey, you're doing the wrong thing." I can say, "Okay, I'm going to ignore that still small voice. All right, next time, I'm probably going to get slapped across the face." And I can choose to ignore that at my own peril, and it will continue to be more painful until I say, hey, okay, Lord, you got me. I am ready to listen. So that's that example for us as fathers. We need to chasten our children, and we see that God does that. Proverbs 3:11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So as a father, I love my son, and that's why I correct him. Don't ever get the idea that I love him too much to discipline. You know, and I've heard people say that, and I can't believe it. But people have bought into this myth that that's okay, that's acceptable. And I think we can see from society and the consequence of years of that, generations of that, what has happened. So fathers want to bless their children, right? And that's because God blesses us. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So God has abundantly blessed us. And as fathers, that's something that we need to think about, is that blessing of our family. Fathers give their children an inheritance, just like God gives a far superior inheritance. Matthew 25:34 says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So we need to be ready to plan to have an inheritance. Proverbs 21:20 says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. So I think this may be a misconception sometimes I see with Christianity, and that I feel as well, is it's easy to say, what do they call, little sisters of the poor, you know, that Catholics and monks would give all their money as a show of piety, trying to gain favor with God, or maybe they're just trying to do the right thing, right? Because even Jesus himself said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. But I believe that's because of the love of riches, right? The Bible does speak a great deal about the blessing that God pours out. And we just said here that the wise, there's treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. And we should endeavor to do that so that we can provide that inheritance to our children just the same way that God has an eternal and infinitely valuable inheritance for us. So God has modeled this perfect fatherhood, and we must strive to fulfill the role that God has shown us through his word. Additionally, we have a clear commandment to honor our fathers. So first we talked about the example of God as the perfect father, and all the attributes, the things that he has done that show us what, as dads, we need to be acting out. Additionally, I have a part. I have an obligation to honor, to obey this commandment of honoring my parents. So again, Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So as fathers, we are modeling fatherhood to our children and to our community. I want to be obedient to the Bible for my own sake, right? I want that long life, and I want life to go well with me. But the way that I treat my father will have a generational impact. So there are many people who have been injured and have had hurting relationships with their parents. In fact, I have friends who essentially are estranged from their parents. And as I get older, I think I'm seeing it more often. I don't know if it's more common, but I think maybe as the relationships age, there's just more probability for miscommunications, for mistakes to be made. But I see it far too much, where people are not honoring their parents, where they don't even consider them. They just kind of write them off, and they just say, I don't want to talk to you. I don't hate you. I'm not going to have my family around you. We're not going to come to the doctor, you know, when you're sick. I mean, these are all things that I have seen other people people do. And I hope that's not us, right? We need to pray for our parents, and we need to pray for our attitude if that's the case. We can't be estranged. We can't be embittered, because over time, they're just people, right? We hold our fathers up to the superhero status oftentimes, but they are just people. You know, you guys have seen the news, right? People will let you down. People will fail. But the Ten Commandments didn't leave an exception for that, right? Didn't say, if your dad is perfect, honor him. And if your mother's perfect, honor her, right? You honor them regardless. And you're forfeiting a blessing if you choose to not do that. So the question is not just, are you honoring your parents? Are your children seeing it, right? As we said before, the example that I set in my home, children's minds are, we say, they're little sponges, right? They're very moldable. And whatever I establish on them now, that's going to be the framework that they're going to grow up with. And yeah, that can change and they can learn new things, but they're always going to have that stamped as they grow. So we need to make sure that we are loving our parents and honoring our parents and that they see that. So the question I have is, you know, did you call your parents today? Did you call your dad? Did you send a card? Do you meet their needs when they call and say, you know, hey, I need a ride. You know, mom's too sick right now. We need somebody to go pick us up, to go take us to the store, take us to the doctor, whatever the case may be. But we have to love them even when it's hard. Amen. And that's that picture of unconditional love that God is trying to communicate. These are people who have loved you, and we take from them, right? When they're young and we're younger, we take. But there is a time when we're going to have to give. And we don't need them as much, but at a certain point, they will need us. And we need to honor them during that time as well. So Genesis tells married adults to leave and cleave. So I don't believe that you're under any obligation to obey your parents, right? The Bible says children obey your parents. So there is a season when you must obey your parents. But when you leave your home and you're married and you start a family, we don't always have to obey our parents. That's a great way to honor, right? We want to talk about examples to honor, is ask them for their advice, for their opinion. They've lived longer than we have. They know more than we do in almost all cases. While we don't have to obey them, we do have to honor them. So if you have parents that you can honor, this is as great a day as any to give them a call and just let them know that. And let your children see. So as we honor God, He will honor us through the blessings of a long and a good life. So God has a promise, and that's what we're going to talk about next, is that blessing. So we talked so far about God's example, right, of perfect fatherhood, and how we as dads need to work to strive to be that example. We saw that I have a part in this, that I need to obey the Bible. I need to honor my parents, because that's what the Word of God says, and I'm honoring God through that. So the promise that God has is that if I follow God's model, and God not only deserves honor, but he loves us, He's self-sacrificing. So if I follow that model, then I will better know how to honor God and to care for my children. So Malachi 1:6 says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" So we see again that God is using this father-son relationship, saying, I've told you, it's a commandment that as a son you honor your father, and I am your father. So we need to honor God. Additionally, in Proverbs 3:12, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." So We need to care for our children. We need to correct and love, and God does the same for us. God is our Father. He delights in us, and he corrects us. So when you get that chastening that I referred to before, right, when you hear that still small voice and you choose to ignore it and you get a wake-up call, that is wonderful, right? Because that is the Holy Spirit is alive and active and working. And that is a booster to your faith, right? To say, not to say that you might think that God's not alive and active, but it's just that reminder that you are his son, that you are loved and you are valued, and he is going to invest in you to correct and to fix so that you can have your very best expected end. He has those good things he planned for you, that you're still able, you're still blessable and able, that he can bless you that way. So I need to better know how to honor God and care for my children by obeying God's promise, but I'll reap the promise of long or prolonged life. So for all time, wealthy people have tried to live longer. So Alexander the Great in 4th century BC, on his last quest, he was looking for the fountain of life. To Ponce de Leon in the 1500s, I think he was headed out to Florida. He heard there was a fountain of eternal life there. He was going out that way. Now, and billionaires today, people are having their heads or their bodies frozen. People are spending, this is serious. There is big dollars being spent to freeze your body after death because they believe that when science continues to grow and to build, that they will be able to be essentially resurrected. They'll be brought back, maybe grow a new body for them. But everybody, I shouldn't say that. I said the wealthy before. The wealthy want to live longer, right? There are a lot of poor people out there. There are a lot of people suffering that don't necessarily looking for another, 100 or 1,000 years of that. But there are a lot of people. And most of us, for the history of the world, we are the wealthiest of the wealthy there's ever been, right? If you look up the ease of life that we have, we are incredibly blessed. And I know that almost all of us very likely would say, hey, if God would give you another 15 or 20 years, like so Hezekiah, right? Hezekiah prayed, God gave him 15 more years. If you were on your deathbed and you could get 15 more years, would you take it? Most people would say yes. But we have the recipe for that right here, right? God said that I will prolong your life if you honor your father and your mother. And I will make it go well with thee. So not just you're going to get more years out of your life than you would if you would have not chosen to honor. So God wants us to enjoy the earth that he created for us. He wants us to continue to love and mentor our children. He wants us to be a light in a dark world. So we need to hold our parents in high regard and teach our children to speak respectfully and properly to us, right? As a dad of four children, it's easy to ignore that eye roll, right? It's easy to ignore that back talk because you might be tired. You had a long day. This is the 27th time I've had to correct this child for that. But it's so important that we do, because this is now the blessing that they won't receive because of my laziness or my ineffective parenting. If I allow that behavior, I'm teaching them that they don't need to honor their father, right? And that's something that we need to, I just want people to think about. And this is something for me to think about. When I'm making a conscious effort to not correct something that is clearly not honoring their parents, I am setting my kids up for failure, right? I am setting them up for a shorter life, for God to put things in their way, for it not to go well with them, to not get those blessings from the Lord. So, unfortunately, knowing about God's promises, it's useless unless we obey. So, I know that everybody knows the Bible here. Everybody knows the Ten Commandments. But I just want us to think about putting that into practice, honoring our parents, and teaching our children the right thing so that they are honoring us and they are being obedient in that as well. So the challenge is for children, which is all of us, for children, remember God's commandment and promise for those who honor their parents, right? We all have parents, and God has something good for us if we honor them. For fathers, don't ignore what God has clearly told you to do or try to justify your bitterness or coldness to your parents. So if there's anyone here that has something between them and their parents, I pray that you would get that right, that you would be able to honor your parents for your own sake. That's right. And for the sake of your children, because they are seeing that. They are seeing that, why doesn't daddy ever call grandpa on Father's Day? You know, so it's not just for my parents that they deserve this and I should honor them because God tells me to. I need to do it for my own sake so I get the blessing. I need to do it for my children's sake so they see the right behavior modeled. Our actions will impact how they see God and how our children will treat us later in life. All right, that is all I have.
I got everybody just bow their heads, close their eyes. Just going to take a few minutes. Brother Crawford, you stay up here in case somebody wants to come and pray or ask you anything. It's just a few questions as we challenge ourselves to look inwardly. I know it's a Sunday night crowd. Most are born again. Of course, if you're not, if you don't have your Abba Father, today is the day. Don't put it off any longer. Come up, talk to Brother Carl and myself. Don't leave here without knowing that. If you are born again and you're struggling, even if you don't have children yet, if we don't practice it now, chances are we're not going to do it when we do have children. And so if somebody's here today and they need to be either born again, baptized, join the church, you come forward now. We'll talk to you. We'll deal with that. We'll show you from the scriptures. If you have some struggle with your own father, or even as a father with their own children or their marriage relationship, Brother Carl covered it all this evening in the scriptures. Come forward, have a time of prayer. Come talk to us if you have any questions or anything like that from the scriptures. Let us open it up and show you. This is a time where we can get together or privately just come and pray. But when we publicly pray or make a profession, it means something to the Lord. He tells us that when we trust in Him, to not be ashamed. The way the Bible tells us to, we're really honoring God. We're honoring God through that. And it's not, none of us are worthy. None of us are worth it. God commendeth or proved His love towards us that while we were yet sinners, while we were at our worst, He died for us. And we can honor because He is worthy, even if our fathers or our mothers aren't. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this evening. We thank You for Brother Carl and the time that You spent with him in preparation and study for this message. And we just thank You for the opportunity to hear it. Lord, help us to not only hear it, Lord, but live it. Lord, if we learn it, but we don't live it, we've gotten nothing out of Your word. And the owner's manual is only as good as we invest into it. Lord, we know that the Ten Commandments, the moral code, it's still there. The moral law is still there. Just as much as it's wrong to kill, it's wrong to dishonor our parents. And so, Lord, we thank You for that tonight. On Father's Day, our ultimate Father who loved us in spite of ourselves, could show the same thing that we could do the same moving forward. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.